world? Or am I the only one alone? My brain is frantically churning through all the different possibilities. If we've not only lost Creighton, but also been separated, torn apart, we are so much farther away from our goal. I feel sick with frustration and panic. All we've worked for, everything we sacrificed to go to India and find Eight, it might have been for worse than nothing. I'm alone under a cloudless sky and a sweltering sun, with no idea of where I am or how in the world I'm going to find another living soul, guard or not. I scan every direction, hoping to see Marina stumble over a dune with her hand waving above her head, Ella not far behind, or a laughing Eight cartwheeling across the sandy expanse. But all I see is a desolate desert. I think about what Eight told us about how this teleporting thing works. Wherever it is that I've landed, I know I'm near one of the blue Lorelite stones. Even if I don't have his teleporting legacy, I'm hoping I could still use the Lorelite in some way. I drop to my hands and knees and furiously start to dig. I have no way of knowing where the thing is, where to start looking, but I'm desperate. So desperate I barely notice the sand burning my fingers. But the only rocks I find are tiny, cracked and ordinary. Out of breath, sweat pouring down my face and into my eyes, I finally stop and sit back. I can't afford to expend what little energy I have this way. I need to find water and shelter. I cock my head and listen to the wind, hoping for some kind of sign. But there's nothing and no one. Nothing but sand and dunes for as far as the eye can see. And that leaves nothing for me to do but walk. I look up at the sun, orient myself using my shadow, and start to trudge through the sand. I walk north. With no protection from the blazing rays, my eyes stinging from my sweat running into them, and the pain of the hot sand whipping against my entire body, I feel vulnerable in a way I've never felt before. Everywhere I look, there is just an endless view of the same, and I know my body can't endure this intense sun for a long period of time. I struggle for a few more steps, then turn invisible to escape the relentless heat. This will make it hard for anyone to find me, but I have no choice. Then I use my telekinesis to hover above the earth, just to keep my feet away from the burning sand. The higher vantage point only confirms my long-distance assessment of sand, sand, and more sand. I squint, hoping to see a road or sign of civilization of any kind each time I pass a dune. But the only thing that changes, the only variation in my endlessly sandy view, comes in the form of devilish flowering cacti and chunks of petrified wood. The clear, cloudless sky mocks me, offering not even a bit of white to manipulate into creating a thunderstorm. When I rip open the first cactus I come near, I'm devastated to find it doesn't hold enough water to begin to quench my thirst. Eventually, just as my energy and spirits are almost at their end, mountains appear on the horizon, giving me at least the prospect of some salvation. They look like they're at least another day's walk away, though it's hard to know for sure. They're definitely too far to reach today, and that is enough to send my hopes plummeting. I know I need to find shelter. I turn visible and hope someone will see me. I look up at the sky and see the first group of clouds of the day. My heart leaps and I feel a small surge of energy I did not know I even had. I concentrate on creating a storm, just a tiny one, above me. The rain is brief, but awesome nonetheless. It's the only reason I don't collapse and just give up. I keep moving until I at last come across a low barbed wire fence. Just beyond it, I can make out a faint dirt road. It's the first sign of civilization I've seen, and I'm so overjoyed I can even pick up my pace to reach it. I follow the road for a mile or so before I reach a small hill, which I manage to get up and over. On the other side, miraculously, I see outlines of several small buildings. I can't believe it. Should I believe it? It has to be a mirage. But no. The closer I get, the more convinced I am these structures, these signs of life, are real. Unfortunately, the closer I get, I can also see the buildings are full of holes, crumbling, wooden skeletons abandoned to the relentless attack of the desert. These buildings represent what happens when you're stuck in a place like this. I've stumbled into a ghost town. Before I let my disappointment bring me to my knees, I focus on what might have been left behind, before the ghosts took over. Plumbing? A well? I stumble around, searching inside and outside the structures, trying to find some source of water. I have been reduced to that one essential ingredient. I need to find water. Everyone needs water, so there must be some somewhere, right? No. Or at least, there is none that I can find. I guess there must have been a well at some point, but there isn't one now. Buried by sand, ripped out by space aliens, who knows? The despair that comes over me is like nothing I've ever felt before. Alone. No water. No food. No proper shelter. I yell as loud as I can. Is there anyone here? Please! Someone! Anyone! A wood beam creaks from somewhere on my right. It's not exactly the answer I'm looking for. I look inside each building. As expected, each is emptier than the last. After I've confirmed just how alone I am, I pick the corner of what I believe was once a grocery store to rest for a bit. I try to imagine the building stocked with food and water just to entertain myself. I pretend I'm going to cook a huge meal for the remaining members of the guard. At the long table in my mind, Marina sits between 8 and Ella. I put John at the head, with me at the other end. I imagine 9 and number 5 are with us. They kid around with each other and share stories about all the places they've been. Everyone is laughing, congratulating me on the feast I've prepared, and I tell them all I'm just happy they could make it out here. What's your favorite memory of Earth so far? I imagine Marina asking the table. Right now, John says. This one. Right here. Safe with all of you. We all agree, raising our glasses to successfully finding each other. Number 5 gets up, leaves the room, and re-enters with an enormous chocolate cake. Everyone cheers and plates are passed around. When I take a bite, it's the most amazing thing I've ever tasted. Of course, none of this has happened. I'm just a lone, crazy person sitting in an abandoned, broken-down grocery store in the middle of the desert. I must be crazy, because as I come out of my dream of feasting with the guard, I realize I am chewing. Chewing air with a satisfied smile on my face. I shake my head and will away my tears. I have not battled Moogs, survived a Moogadorian cell, and watched Katarina die to have it all end in the middle of the desert, alone. I pull my knees up to my chest and rest my forehead on them. I have to figure out a plan. It's still sweltering hot when I leave the ghost town. I've rested from the sun for a while, but I know I have to keep moving before I lose all of my strength. I've walked about a mile towards the mountains through the burning sand when I feel the most intense cramping in my legs and stomach. I focus what little mental energy I have left on uprooting a few nearby cacti and manage to get a mouthful of water from them. I concentrate on my legacy and try to summon another thunderstorm from the few scraggly clouds overhead, but all I manage to create is a plume of sand that washes over me, burying me up to my knees. For the first time, I'm not just nervous about what's to come, I'm scared I'm going to die out here. I have nothing left. The elders chose me as a warrior to save our race, and I'm going to die in the middle of a desert. I feel myself starting to panic, to truly lose it. I have just enough of a grip to know I can't lose it. I'm so vulnerable out here that it will be all over if I do. I'm so desperate, I think back to my imaginary meal with the rest of the guard. To keep myself focused, I think about what I wish I could say to them right now. Hey, Marina, how are things? Me? I'm in a desert heading to some mountain. I'm guessing I must be in New Mexico based on what 8 said about where he was able to teleport to before. I'm growing weak, Marina. I don't know how much longer I can hold on. And I don't know where you are, but please. Please find a way to get from wherever it is you landed and come and find me. Ella, do you know how sorry I am about Creighton? I know how much it hurt watching him die, leaving him behind. I promise you, we will avenge his death, and I will be the one out front. If I make it out of this desert, I will avenge all of Lorien. 8, I couldn't find the Lorelight. I see no sign of food, water, shelter, civilization, and I am alone. Can you tell me where the Lorelight is? I want to get out of here. I want to find you guys. I don't even feel stupid, chatting in my head to people who are almost certainly on the other side of the world. I close my eyes and desperately wait for someone to answer me. No one does, of course. So I trudge on. It gets harder to place one foot in front of the other. I start to waver, listing to the right, then the left, almost falling but catching myself at the last moment. Eventually, though, I can't steady myself, and I fall forwards. I resign myself to crawling and continue like this for a while with my eyes closed against the blinding sun. After a while, I look up to check where the sun is in the sky, and again think I'm imagining a mirage when I see a gate made of solid metal a few hundred feet away. It's over 20 feet tall, topped with a spiraling barbed wire. Even from this distance, I can hear the hum of electricity. The fence is charged. This goes a long way towards convincing me it isn't a mirage. Although I have no idea what's behind this gate, I need help, and I'm at the point where I don't care where that help comes from. I crawl over to the gate and manage to sit up. I wave my hands over my head, hoping it's monitored. Please, help me, I manage to whisper, my throat as dry as sandpaper. The gates don't open, and no one emerges. I let myself slide back down into the sand. I try to gather the last bit of strength I have to make one more go of it. I roll over onto my stomach and pull myself slowly up to my feet. I decide to test the fence. What's a little electricity after near starvation and life-endangering thirst? I look around and spot a small cactus. I float it up into the air and drop it onto the fence, where it sizzles and pops. The charred remains fall to the ground, smoking. I let myself fall first to my knees, then onto my side, then, finally, roll onto my back. I close my eyes. I feel blisters forming on my dry lips. I hear a faint mechanical noise behind me, but I can't lift my head to see what it is. I know I'm losing consciousness. There's a swirling echo in my ears and then a low drumming. A few seconds later, I swear I hear Ella. Wherever you are, 6, I hope you're okay, she says. A short laugh comes out of my mouth, followed by a sob. I'm sure there would be tears if I had any moisture left in my body. I'm dying in a desert, Ella, I respond. The one with the mountains. I'll see you on Lorien one day, Ella. I hear her voice again, but this time I can't make out what she's saying. She is drowned out by a new noise in my head, choppy and loud. And then I feel it. It's a high wind that whips my hair over my face. I slowly open my eyes to see 3 black helicopters hovering over me. Men yell for me to put my hands over my head, but all I can do is close my eyes.
Chapter 20. Ella is floating above me. She is in a panic. Eyes wide, bubbles shooting out of her mouth. I'm trying to figure out what's going on, how she got here, why there is so much water. I try to reach for her hand, but my arms won't do as I ask them. What happened to me when we teleported? I can tell my face is numb, and there's a pain behind my eyes that's unbearable. My legs won't kick no matter how hard I try. All I can do is watch Ella float higher and higher above me, away from me. Where did all this water come from? My left shoulder begins to rock violently, and it takes a second to realize someone is shaking my arm. Then I see 8, his black curls hovering over his head like a halo. He hooks his arm under my armpit, and I try not to let his look of concern scare me more than I already am. He tries to swim us towards the surface, but the chest under my arm weighs us down. I let the freezing water enter my lungs. It's the only thing I can do. 8 kicks the chest out of my paralyzed arms and yanks me upward. We start to rise. I look around wildly for a glimpse of 6, but I don't see her. When my head breaks the surface of the water, the first thing I'm aware of is a glaring hot sun. Everywhere I look is water. I see Ella treading water nearby. A few minutes later, in the fresh air, gets my limbs to start working. So I tread water as well. 8 appears fully occupied with cursing our luck. "Where's 6?" I cry, coughing. I keep whipping my head around to see if I can spot her blonde head bobbing around on the surface. "I couldn't find her down there," 8 yells. "I have no idea if she made it or not."
"Why wouldn't she have made it?"
Ella asks, a new panic rising in her voice. 8 slowly rises out of the water until he's standing on the surface. It doesn't look as easy for him this time. He kicks the tip of a slow-passing wave, pissed.
"Damn it! I knew I shouldn't have tried to teleport with so many people."
"But where could she be? How do we find her?"
Ella cries. "I don't know. For all I know, she's still back at what's left of the cave." My limbs are still coming around slowly, and I'm struggling to just keep my head above water.
"What? She'll be killed if she's still there."
Ella is also struggling to stay afloat. 8 pulls her over to him so she can get on his back, her arms wrapped tightly around his neck.
6 could have ended up somewhere else too, 8 says, trying to sound more hopeful. "I just don't know where exactly."
"Where are we?" I ask.
"That much I know." 8 sounds relieved to have a definite answer to something. "We're in the Gulf of Aden."
"And that," he points at the coastline in the distance that I didn't see before, "that's Somalia."
"How do you know?" asks Ella. "I ended up here once before," he says flatly. He doesn't elaborate, so there must be more to his story. "I don't know much about Somalia other than it's in Africa, and is in a perpetual state of brutal tribal and civil war, not to mention the poverty that keeps tempers high."
"I don't know if I have the strength to use my telekinesis, or even to swim underwater to get to that coastline."
"I'm even less sure if I want to. I need to think. You know what? I'm going to go under for a bit. I can save some energy down there while we figure out what to do," I say. As I go down, I hear Ella call out,
"Look for 6!
Her words give me a surge of strength. Just the possibility of finding 6 puts new energy in my dive. I go deep and open my eyes. The water is relatively blue, even this far away from land. There's movement below me, and I dive farther to find a small school of tuna. I slowly twist around in circles, looking for even a glimpse of 6's dyed blonde hair, and more than twice I'm fooled by waving strands of seaweed. I look up and see the faint shadow of 8's body on the surface. Feeling confident my strength will stay with me, I descend until I touch the bottom. Navigating my way along the sea floor and scanning the water ahead of me, I accidentally brush up against a mass of coral and cut my knee. The sharp pain stuns me for a second, and I reach down to touch it, to heal it. And it takes